Hello and welcome. This is part one of a three-part series on the subject of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In this first part, we examine how the Bible defines baptism with the Holy Spirit and other equivalent terms that relate to the one experience. In part two, we explain why baptism with the Holy Spirit is necessary for salvation of the individual. And in part three, we examine the Bible evidence that verifies baptism with the Holy Spirit has taken place in an individual. So firstly, we need to establish important Bible-defined terminology related to the subject. Number one, the term baptism comes from the New Testament Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or submerge. In the Bible, there are two kinds of baptism. One is an outward immersion of the individual in water, and the other is an inward immersion of the Spirit in an individual. Both are complementary in their purpose, water representing death of the old life and the Spirit raising up the individual into new life. We read in Romans 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And in Romans 8 and verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Number two, the terms the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Holiness, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Adoption, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of Grace, are different terms, but they all relate to one Spirit, not many spirits. We note that the terms Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost are equivalent. The word Spirit and Ghost are both translated from the same word in the New Testament Greek, and that word is pneuma. We read in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling." In part two of this series, we will go into much more detail on just how important this verse is in proving that receiving Holy Spirit baptism is absolutely crucial to salvation. We also read in 1 Peter 1 verses 9 to 12, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Clearly, in this passage, Peter's contextual use of the terms the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost both relate to the same one Spirit. And in 2 Peter 1 verse 21, we read the following, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Comparing 1 Peter 1 verses 9 to 12 with 2 Peter 1 verse 21, we determine the following. In Peter's first letter, he states that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. And in his second letter, he states that the holy men of God, that is, the prophets, were moved, that is, driven, motivated, by the Holy Ghost. Simple logic clearly demonstrates that the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost refer to one and the same Spirit. We also read in Romans 8 and verse 9, But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In this verse, Paul uses three terms: the Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ, without changing the subject. Therefore, the indwelling Spirit that makes someone belong to Christ is the same Spirit of God, just expressed in different terms. If these were different spirits, Paul's logic would simply collapse. But God is not the author of confusion, and his word is 100% consistent and immutable. Furthermore, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, Paul stated, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into or of one Spirit." Again, the importance of this verse in proving that receiving Holy Spirit baptism is absolutely crucial to salvation will be examined in more detail in part 2 of this series. Number 3. The Bible uses the following terms that all relate to the same experience. After Christ's ascension to heaven, individuals were to receive the promise of the Father. They were to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, as we read in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This baptism with or in the Holy Ghost is referred to again in Acts 11 and verse 16. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." This same baptism with the Holy Ghost is also described as the Holy Ghost coming upon individuals, as in Acts 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Around 835 BC, the Old Testament prophet Joel declared that the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out on individuals, as recorded in Joel 2, verses 28 to 29. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." This began to be fulfilled some 800 years later on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2, verses 17 and 18. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." This initial outpouring or baptism with God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost is also described as individuals being filled with the Holy Ghost, as in Acts 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Apostle Peter proclaimed that this occurrence signified that the promise of the Holy Ghost had been shed forth on individuals, as we read in Acts 2, verses 32 to 33. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Peter went on to proclaim God's calling through the gospel message, commanding individuals to repent, be baptized, and that they also would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, as we read in Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 15, we read that individuals were to be prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is further described elsewhere as having fallen on individuals. For example, in Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And in Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 16, Peter recounted the same events. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, to summarize, in this first part we have established how the Bible defines a range of associated terms that relate to baptism with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means immersion. There are two types of baptism described in the Bible. Water baptism is being immersed outwardly in water. Holy Spirit baptism is being immersed inwardly with the Holy Spirit. There is only one Spirit of God, described in various terms, principally referred to as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of Christ, with other terms used to describe certain aspects of the same one Spirit. The Bible uses various terms that are synonymous with people experiencing baptism with the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. The term born again literally means to be born, that is, brought forth from above, that is, from the heavenly realm of God, who is Spirit. Jesus went on to further define being born again by stating, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born or brought forth of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 5. Born of water refers to baptism in water, and born of the Spirit refers to baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we read further in John 3, verses 6 to 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. Clearly, according to the teaching of Jesus, there is no difference between a person being baptized with the Holy Spirit and being born of the Spirit. Both terms refer to the exact same experience. We will examine this in relation to salvation in more detail in part 2 and reveal the Bible evidence that a person has become born of the Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit in part 3 of this series. But suffice to say at this point that as far as the Bible, that is the Word of God, is concerned, there is no difference between individuals receiving, being filled with, being born of, or baptized with the Holy Spirit. They describe one and the same experience. The same experience is also described as the Holy Spirit being poured out, shed forth, falling upon, or coming upon individuals. This concludes part 1. In part 2, we discover what the Bible teaches about baptism with the Holy Spirit and salvation.